seated. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. We are certainly thankful to see this good crowd this morning. And Lord, it's blessed Mars Hill to have visitors. Seems like every week we have other visitors come this way. And won't you know that if we are very, very grateful to have you here. We trust that everybody gets excited about seeing a new face. We see numbers, and it's easy, and there's lots of religion to get wrapped up in numbers, and more we're successful because we've got numbers. But I tell you what, if we could all leave here today and say it has been good to be in the presence of the Lord, that's what really matters. It's not about me. It's not about these members. It's not even about visitors. It's about God. It's about His will. It's about doing His work. And if we can get God's will accomplished, if two or three are gathered together in His name, He'll be in the midst. And if He's in the midst, then we've had a successful worship service and church service. And so we are glad that you're here. It tickles us to see all the faces that are here that's visiting. But let's look to the Lord. Open your Bible to Revelation chapter 2. I want to talk about the church just a minute. The church is God's establishment. It's not man's. You don't go to Brother Brad's church. This is God's church. You don't run down here to Brother so-and-so's church or this family church or whatever titles that people are coming up with today. But we go to the church. I believe with all my heart that the Holy Spirit leads us, first of all, to be saved. Once we're saved, He leads us. And the Holy Spirit is a He. He's not a it. He leads us to yoke up with the local visible church body. One that He has established. Not just any religion is God's church. Jesus said that He would found His church. He would establish His church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against His church. So it's good, I believe with all my heart, that I belong to God's true church. I believe there's other local visible church bodies throughout the world that God is with, and they are also His true church. But when we look at the church, we have to see the local visible church body. It's not just this great big old group of saints that all meet all over the earth. Yes, all may be part of His church, but not all are. You're not supposed to be a member of this body and that body and the other body, but you are to be a member of the local visible church body that the Lord leads you to. And so the church was called out from the people that John the Baptist had prepared. John the Baptist had a purpose. John the Baptist, or the baptizer. And his purpose was to prepare a people and make ready a people for the Lord. And when the Lord came along, He called out His church out of that prepared work of John the Baptist. In fact, it's so much that I'm not going to deal with this morning, but there's so much there that Jesus even referred to John as a special position. He said he's a friend of the bridegroom. So I believe what Jesus is saying there, John was the best man. He is the best man. He will be the best man whenever the wedding takes place. And so he got a special position and a very honorable place that the Lord gave him. But Jesus established His church, and He even told Peter, He said, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. The one that's founded upon Jesus Christ, the gates of hell is not going to prevail against that. So any local visible body that has been established decently and in order, from the empowered, one that's been empowered by and also led by the Holy Spirit cannot be overthrown. The devil does not have any power to overthrow the Lord's church. But Jesus will be with His church always, even to the ends of the earth. And He's talking about any local visible church body that will just continue to do His great commission. If you'll continue to go to the world, if you'll continue to preach the gospel, if you'll continue to baptize the believers, and if you'll continue to teach them all things in this book, he said, I'll be with you all the way even to the ends of the earth. Now, there's been some local visible bodies down through the years that have shut the doors. That doesn't mean that God told a lie. It just means that that church from the inside quit on God. They begin to establish on other things. He said, no foundation can be laid than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And when a church gets their mind off of Jesus, off of His commission, and they get their founding upon something else, and it's more about entertainment, it's more about making everybody happy, and it's more about pleasing the crowd, all of a sudden you get founded, and you get off that foundation of Christ, and you try to have your church founded upon something else, the Lord has every right to say, I'll remove the candlestick and shut the door on that church. And He's done that. Throughout history, the Lord has done that. But those that will stay true, He's going to be with us always, even to the ends of the world. If the Lord come back right now, Mars Hill is one of His churches that stay true. If He comes back 100 years from now, I hope we can still, or the next generation can still say the same thing. And that is, Mars Hill stayed true to the Lord. But, you know, somebody made a statement, it's not the water outside the boat that sinks a boat. It's the water that gets inside the boat that sinks the boat. And so, that being said, Jesus will be with this church always as long as we carry out His great commission. But if we allow Satan to have his way, Satan knows the whole world could rise up against God's church and cannot prevail. The gates of hell itself can rise against the church and cannot prevail. But if you go all the way back to the doctrine of Balaam, if the enemy can get God's people to hang themselves, if he can get God's people and their mind off of the Lord and onto their self, then he can have a great victory. And so he knows that. Now, I want to just bring our attention just a minute, because Peter was one of the apostles that was one of the great men of God, and did probably as much for the church as any other man. Maybe Paul would rival that, or John. But he did great work. But there was a time whenever Jesus told him, even though Peter was part of the church, preaching in the church, he was an apostle of the church, Jesus said, Peter, Satan desires to have you. He may sift you like wheat. You think there's anybody here that the Lord could sift like, or rather Satan could sift like wheat? You ever been in Satan's sifter? Satan ever been on your case trying to get you to mess up? Trying to get you to fall? Well, that's the adversary that every one of us has. He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He wants to destroy every one of us. And Jesus said, Peter, Satan wants to destroy you. He wants to sift you. There's nothing left of you. Just totally destroy you. That's what Satan wants. You know, later on, Jesus was preaching to His church. He was telling them about the cross. And Peter said, not so, Lord. Peter took the Word of God, Jesus, and he grabbed him and said, not so, Lord. I don't agree with this. There's a lot of people that look at the Bible and they say, I don't agree with this. There's a lot of church folks say, I don't know what the Bible says, but let me tell you something. I'm going to give you a warning this morning. Anytime you look at Scripture, you say, I know what that Bible says, but what you just did is you just give the devil a foot in the door. If he gets his foot in the door, it won't be long, he'll wedge it open. Whenever we look at God's Word and we say, I think I know more than what that Bible says, we're in trouble. Now, Peter said, not so, Lord. Not so. I just don't like that. I don't like what you're telling me right now. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. A preacher in the church, an apostle in the church, a member of the church, You might even say the right-hand man of the Lord. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Jesus rebuked Peter. Now, Peter was the one that Satan used to try to destroy God's plan or purpose of salvation. If Jesus had done what Peter said, we wouldn't have a Savior. If he'd have listened to that, and look, there's no doubt that in that, all involved in what Peter said, there's a lot of emotion involved in that. I mean, he's saying, I don't want my best friend to die. There's things that's worse than death. If he'd succeeded, the devil would have had his way. Of course, we know that that's not going to happen. He was dealing with the Lord, and he's not going to overpower the Lord. He proved that. But that's one of the ways that the devil works, is to take what Jesus is saying, to take what the Word of God says, and say, not so, Lord. And gets our mind on what we want and what we think and what sounds best and what feels the best. And we start living like that, and all of a sudden we give Satan an avenue. We give him a vehicle to work through, a vessel to work through. And so that's what happened with Peter. Satan, because of Peter and his emotions and his feelings, he allowed himself to be a vessel to try to hinder the work of God just for a moment. Later on, look, repentance, and he was a man that was a powerhouse in the work of God. But just for that moment, he was being used of the devil. Now, if Satan can use Peter as his vessel to manifest his evil deeds, what about you? What about me? How vigilant should we be, brothers and sisters, listen this morning, how vigilant should we be with this adversary that wants to destroy what God has? Revelation 2, verse 12. We're not going to read the whole church letter here because we're not Pergamos, but there's some things that certainly implied that would be for our benefit. And so we're going to read verse 12 and part of verse 13. And you can go read the whole church letter. I'm not taking anything away from it. I just want to deal with a thought. In verse 12, and to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. We know who that is. Jesus is the Word. He said, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith. We're going to just stop right there this morning. And I want to point out the power of the church, the power of Christ through the church. Even with Satan seated amongst Pergamos, they still held fast to the name of Jesus. And they, as a church, had not denied the faith. That is just, it's eye-opening. It's so encouraging to know, because you have a church that had given Satan a seat in the church, and yet they were still holding fast to the faith. Even though that the devil's inside and he is working against them, they are still holding to the faith. They are still looking to Jesus. They still name the name of Christ. You think it was a hindrance, though, for Satan to have a seat in the church? If Satan can get us to focus on distractions and let down our vigilance, he'll be inside this church if we don't watch it. It's possible, even if the devil has a seat here at Marcy, it's possible to keep on contending for the faith, though. What that means is, just because someone may be hindered, that don't mean you have to be hindered. Just because someone is letting the devil use them, that don't mean he has to get to you. But we have to be very, very vigilant. And this morning, I want to consider this. Satan, I'm going to tell you something. Satan does not indwell furniture. There's a lot of people that they call ghostbusters to come run demons out of their house and cast them out and all this stuff. Look, you go back in old times, there was a time of apostles. They had the gift of being able to cast out devils and things of that nature. We have the Word of God. So Satan can't, he's not going to indwell this wood. His seed is not permanently row 3 or row 6, middle ways or whatever. That's not how we need to look at this. This is not his seed up here, this empty pew. That's not where his seed is. So don't think that. Don't get your mind, well, you know, this piece of furniture is cursed or something of that nature. But rather, we have to understand that his seat was with Peter in that moment. That's where he was. He wasn't standing beside Peter. He was Peter. He was using Peter. And Peter was letting his emotions get overwhelm him. And he was allowing himself to think what Peter wants. And the devil knows that. He knows whenever you are willing to put God's Word aside and just be you. That's why he tells us, you've got to crucify the flesh. You can't live in the flesh. You can't go through this life thinking, well, I know I might not be as perfect, but at least I'm doing my best. Your best is garbage. My best is garbage. We got to do more than our best. We got to surrender ourselves over to the Lord and let Him work through us. His seat was with Peter for the moment. You go back in the Old Testament, and even back then, I know the church didn't exist, but his seat was with the king of Persia. Who else is going to withstand an angel of God for 21 days? That was Satan himself. When you had an angel trying to get a message to Daniel, and he said, I come the moment you lifted up your words in prayer to the Lord. He said, I was on my way, but the prince of Persia resisted me. He had to finally go call one of the archangels to come and bail him out. The prince of Persia. You go on and you look in the Old Testament. I believe this. I believe old Eve gave the devil a seat. She went to eat that fruit and she presented it to Adam. Adam was not deceived. She was. Adam gave a seat for a whole different reason than she did. But let's jump over and let's look at the church. Remember whenever Paul talked about Alexander the coppersmith? The devil used him, didn't he? He said he did much evil. Paul watched as men in the church rose up and they let the devil use them. He saw that. What about Ananias and Sapphira? They come along and, oh yeah, we sold this land for this much and we're going to give it all to the Holy Spirit, all to the church. And Peter said, how did you conspire together to lie to the Holy Spirit? That's the devil. Oh. So while the devil can't make you do anything, he can't. But I tell you what, we can give him a seat. And he get to working within us. The next thing we know, you're living like the devil. You're reacting like the devil. You're doing the work of Satan himself. Peter did. We can too. So don't give the message that I want to get on your heart this morning. Don't give Satan a seat in this church. Don't give him a seat. Now it's easy for us to say, Brother Brad, I've never let that happen. I would never let that happen. I would have to walk out before I let the devil use me. Neither would Peter. Not on purpose. When Peter said, not so, Lord, he didn't realize he was doing the devil's bidding. He didn't know that.
Here's what Peter thought. It feels right to tell the Lord no. It feels right. There's a lot of things in life that feel right. And they're dead wrong. You know those people in other countries, other religions believe that if they can just blow up the infidels of this world, that they would be doing what's right. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, you and I would be the infidel. And they believe that with all their heart. They believe that is what God wants me to do. There's people today that stand in pulpits and say, I am going to preach. And this is, thus saith the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Ghost hasn't told them anything. But they believe it with all their heart. So, well, how do you know that? Well, you've got to be qualified. If somebody's not qualified, it don't matter. Look, well, I don't care how you feel. This right here eliminates our feelings as far as what's right and what's wrong. Whenever Cain slew Abel, he felt like it's what he wanted to do. Don't give Satan a seat. Not in your life. Don't give him a seat in his church. But Peter became more focused on how right he was instead of what the Word of God was telling him. Peter didn't care about what Christ was doing. I don't like it. And he had his purpose in mind. Many, many members today have given Satan a seat because of how they feel. Look over at Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Oh, so these things, there's some things I hate. Imagine that. What if God was here today? What if Jesus Christ walked through those doors and He said, Church, Mars Hill, I'm going to tell you something. There's some things I hate. You say, when He left, you say, Brother Brad, we got to make some changes. If the Lord hates them, we got to hate them too. I can see myself suffering over here with this problem and that problem, but now that the Lord said He hates it and He comes told us He hates that, I don't ever want to be charged with that again. The thing is, a lot of times we just read the Bible and we say, well, I know what it says. But is it really that bad? I'm going to tell you something. If the Lord hates it, it's bad. There's a reason God hates these things. What is that reason? They have done more damage to His work than anything else. These are the most subtle ways that Satan picks up a seat in the church of the living God. These are the ways. A lot of times we have our shield up against, boy, I don't want to ever get caught committing fornication or adultery. I don't want to ever be a murderer. I want to make sure that I don't fly off the handle and beat somebody to death. I'm doing good because I keep my anger in check to some degree. The Lord said, these things I hate. You take a church that's contending for the faith, and all of a sudden a member gets lifted up in pride. They start thinking about themselves more than they think about the glory of God. You know what that does? That'll cause trouble in the church. all of a sudden, you got Satan seated amongst you. And it wouldn't matter, Brother Andy, if it's on your pew or my wife's pew, my son's pew. It wouldn't matter if it's Brother Branson out there preaching as an extended arm of this church. It wouldn't matter if it was in this pulpit right here. If all of a sudden we get lifted up in pride, God said, I hate that. I hate that. It's through the church that God, that Christ Jesus received glory. Through the church. It's not through the church that you or I received glory. It's through the church He received glory. That's the focus. As you get lifted up in pride, you've lost your focus and you've given Satan a seat. All right, we could spend 10, 20 minutes with each one of these. I want to look at them real quick though. You think a lying tongue. A lying tongue. Brother Bad, I'm not a liar. I'm not going to just purposely tell somebody a lie. I'll tell you what we can do. Every one of us, we can imagine the devastation that can be done by a lie. You ever had somebody tell a lie on you? Boy, it hurts. It hurts somebody lying on you. Somebody trying to destroy your character. Somebody talks about something you've done that you didn't do. It hurts. You know, a lot of times we grab some rumor and we run with it, we talk about it, and we might just very well be lying. I had somebody tell me that one of our preachers was dead. And I made a statement about that, and somebody called me, "What do you mean he died? I just saw him last week." I tell you what, I just about started a fire. I had asked and begged, please forgive me. I was given bad information. I don't want to be guilty of spreading a rumor like that. Oh, but boy, that could be bad, couldn't it? Wasn't even intentional. Better be careful. The information you have might not be reliable. Sometimes it gets you in trouble. It'll make you out to be a liar. And you can imagine what a lie do. The tongue is a fire. It's set on fire. It will set on fire the course of nature, and it's set on fire of hell. The tongue. It's our nature to want to talk about juicy gossip. It's our nature to want to talk about something that seems interesting. If we're not careful, that nature, it's set on fire the course of nature, and it's from hell itself. Hands that shed innocent blood. Once upon a time, the church had spies. It turned out to be assassins. And we know, if you ever read the trail of blood and of tears, you'll find that there were some evil people that got inside the church. There's a reason why the Lord wrote a letter to martyrs. There was an age that the church went through that was martyrs. I mean, if you're part of the church, chances are you're going to die. And it'd be an evil, cruel, torturous death. He said, you know, there's those that run to shed innocent blood. The Lord's even got some prophecy about some of those that shed the innocent blood. He's going to deal with that. A heart that deviseth evil imaginations. You know that it's very possible for you to sit on a church bench and all of a sudden the devil just take and prick a little bit, or he puts some lie in your mind, and next thing you know, you think, this church don't care about me. My pastor don't like me. I want to tell you, you can believe this or not, there's not a person in this building that I don't like. I'm going to go look that I don't love. The Lord has given me the position, the honor, the privilege to be the pastor of Mars Hill Baptist Church. I consider you, I consider, if you have faults, I consider that. I consider myself. I know I can also fall. I'm not pointing fingers at you saying, I tell you what, this sorry member here, that sorry member, I love you.
do. But it is very possible this happened to me along the way. In my life, I've looked and I said, this church don't care about me. It's possible for you to get that in your mind. You know, something that you imagine. It's not the case, but you imagine it. Well, you didn't shake my hand. You didn't check on me when I was sick. Understand this, everybody in this building is human. Every one of us. There's not a perfect member in this building. Sometimes we come up short. Sometimes we might do something you don't particularly like. Don't let your imagination run wild. The Lord has put together a great thing with this church. The Lord has brought us here together. The Lord has us yoked up as one body doing the work of God. Let's focus on that. But see, whenever that imagination runs wild, all of a sudden you kind of bring into it that pridefulness about you. Well, they ought to care about me more. They ought to. They should care about me more than what they do. Probably so. I'm going to tell you what, whenever I look at Christ, my Lord bowed down and washed feet. And He said, that's what I want you to do. And if every one of us could put ourselves in the position of a servant, we wouldn't be worried about how big my name is and how much I'm worth. I know we live in a day and time today that's all about self-care and self-love and you got to appreciate yourself. That's of the devil, you know that? The Lord said, deny yourself. Follow Christ. That's what He said. He said, be a servant. But you let these things build up. And the Lord said, I hate them. It's the most subtle way that the devil gets his seat in the church. Be a false witness. Don't be lying on you, brother. He says here, one that soweth discord among the brethren. You know how easy it is for you to say something negative about the church. And all of a sudden you've sown a little discord and it takes root over here. And now you've got this weed that desperately needs to be plucked up before it destroys. But the thing about weeds is it don't take long and they're everywhere. Same way with a fire, just a little fire. You take this one spark that hits the old dry ground and next thing you know, you burn up thousands of acres. Sowing discord. Brother Brad, nobody here is doing that. Well, let's make sure that it don't ever happen. Because the Lord hates it. If the Lord hates it as a church, we have to hate it. You know, later on in the church, Peter showed some prejudice. Even after he'd done great things on the day of Pentecost, even after thousands were added to the church, later on he got sent out to the Gentiles and the Lord had to convert him even to go to a different race of people. And whenever he went, he began to preach and all of a sudden, while he was there doing a great work, some of his Jewish people, friends, come walking in the door and they saw that and Peter looked at them and he probably like a deer in the headlights, he's caught and all of a sudden he walks away from them. He goes and sits with the other folks. Paul said, I had to withstand him to the face because he was to be blamed. You know what that was? That was sowing discord and it was causing contention in the church. And Paul said, it was more important for me to call him out in public so that it did not destroy what God was doing. There it is again, Peter. Give Satan a seat, didn't he? It's so easy to get caught up in something like that. Don't give Satan a seat. See, here's what I believe about Mars Hill, and I'm going to close. I know we've got a lunch prepared. And I want all you visitors to know lunch is prepared, so we don't have to go far to eat. So, I love Mars Hill. I'm thankful to be a part of this church. If I'm ever guilty of anything that would harm this great work of God, I'm going to say this to my brothers, sisters, especially you spiritual men. Listen to it. If you ever find me where I am causing trouble, let me use it, where I'm giving Satan a seat, I want you to come to me and you charge me with that. Brother Brad, what do you mean? That would be terrible if... No, it wouldn't. It would be a blessing. I am not above being rebuked. I'm not. Rebuke is a good thing if it's led a spiritual man to do it. Because you know what it does? It keeps us from having to be rebuked by God Himself. God gave the church the right. So I said, don't judge, you can't judge. He said, we need to understand, we're going to judge angels one day. How much more these smaller matters? I know we're not individually judge people out in the world and point fingers at them and all of that, but God give us a church so we can hold one another accountable to this. That is the judge. He said, take care of it. So if it's somebody, if it's me or anybody else, and I'm sowing discord, with the Word of God, you come and you rebuke that. If we're not willing to listen to it, he said, bring it before the church. Deal with it. I'm going to close with this. You know that this Bible says it would be better to take and deliver someone over to Satan himself than it would for the church to be found as blasphemers. You remember whenever David messed up, Satan got a hold of him, and David messed up, and God judged him so harshly. He said, the sword will never depart from your door. You know why? He said, because you have given occasion for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. That means the people out there in the world see you, David, and you're supposed to be different, and now they don't see you as different, and you have hindered them, and so I'm going to judge you harshly. And he tells the church the same thing. He said, you judge yourself. If there's something going on that the Lord hates, you got to deal with it. Otherwise, the world out there will look at you and see a bunch of hypocrites. Don't let that ever be said. I know it's a little bit heavy of a message this morning, but it's the burden of my heart. It would be so easy for the devil to say, you know what, I got to do something about what's going on at Mars Hill because God is blessing and the church is growing and people are getting saved and they're doing mission work and they're doing such a good job. Let me get in there and find me a seat so that I can disrupt it. So this morning, the burden of my heart, don't give Satan a seat. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he may devour. You can make a trophy on his wall. If he calls you to fall, he calls you to bring in sin into the camp. Satan can't overthrow God. But Satan can do a lot of damage. And he will do a lot of damage to every local visible church body that allows him a seat. So let's pray one for another. You pray for me. We'll ask for a song.